we could turn this morning to Proverbs chapter 1. There are a couple of verses that were really quickened to me as I was reading through them this week. And I thought we'd just share on them and see what the Lord would speak to us through them. And it's Proverbs 1, verses 32 and 33. So Proverbs chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. And it says, "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoever listens to me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil." And so we see this, as we often do in Proverbs, we see a positive followed by a negative element, you know, where we're instructed when we see the lives of those who have erred from the way of righteousness, and then that we use that instruction to follow the Lord and to seek Him. And so I just want to look at these few thoughts with you this morning. And in verse 32, we see two people here. We see the simple and the fool. And you might think that they're the same, right? That, you know, and there is a similarity there, but as we consider them, we'll see that there is a difference. And I think the fool is kind of clear. We kind of understand, you know, the idea of someone's foolish, right? But the simple, right, it is important to understand. And it has a very interesting definition. It means to be open or roomy. Right, to be like a big room, big open space, to be open. That's what it means to be simple, at least in the Hebrew definition. And you could say it's the thought that it's someone who is open to anything. That there's an openness, right? There's not that discernment to see, oh, there might be danger here, but there's an openness. And there's the root word for this means to allure, to deceive, to entice. And so understanding the root word, you know, we can see that this simple can easily be deceived and enticed to do the wrong thing. And there's another verse we can read in Proverbs. This is Proverbs 14 and verse 15. Proverbs 14 and verse 15, it says, "The simple believe every word." Right? Now that's true. The simple believe every word. Anything that's told them, they'll say, "Oh, okay, that's true." Right? But the prudent man looks well to his going. And so there's another contrast. You know, those who are simple, they believe everything they're told. Right? And I think that's made worse by the internet today, right? It has to be true. I read it on the internet. You know, but there's that danger in that, isn't there? Right, we want to have that wisdom of discernment, of identifying the dangers in life. There's another verse, this time in Proverbs 23 and verse 3. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 3, it says, "The prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." And so the wise or the prudent man, they can anticipate there's evil coming. You know, I think there's going to be a problem if I do this. I think this is going to cause an issue, and so I'm going to avoid it. But the simple, right? Those who don't have that discernment, they don't have the wisdom, they walk right into it, and they walk into trouble. And because of that, you know, the simple, you could say that the simple live hard lives, difficult lives, because they don't foresee evil, or they don't foresee, you know, the results of choices made that aren't based in wisdom. And because of that, they suffer the consequences many times over. And, you know, really, that's why we need wisdom. We so desperately need wisdom, because none of us can avoid making decisions in life, can we? Right? I mean, everyone has to make decisions on what they're going to do, you know, what decisions they make as far as, you know, friends or work or so forth. We all make decisions, and our reactions to those are going to determine what we experience in life. And back in Proverbs 1 and verse 32, you know, when it talks about the simple, it says the turning away of the simple shall slay them. And this phrase, the turning away, it actually means to slowly turn aside from a moral standard. So the simple, they slowly turn aside from the way of righteousness, and it leads them to destruction. It'll eventually be their downfall. And so, you know, that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to try and get us to believe a little lie, even just the tiniest lie. If we'll believe that, it will slowly turn us away. Even if it's just an inch at a time, just a little bit at a time, it will slowly turn us away. But eventually, it will lead us into trouble and into difficulty. You know, and so, you know, Solomon, and we know that he's the writer of Proverbs, he observed these things. Now, he didn't practice them, but, you know, he observed these things, and he's warning, you know, the simple. You know, the thing is that we were all simple at one point, weren't we? Right? We were all open to our own ways and our own way of thinking, and God slowly just begins to work in our hearts. But thank God for that, that there's hope for the simple. Right? And let's look at Psalm chapter 19 and verse 7 and just consider that for a moment. Because maybe there's even areas in our lives, you know, we're really good in some areas, but in other areas, there can be that simplicity, because it can be, you know, maybe the strongholds in our heart of that. And God wants to work in that in us. And I count the preacher there as much as anyone else, that the Lord is, you know, continuing to work. In Psalm 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony is sure, making wise the simple." You know, there's such power in following the commandments of the Lord. There's such power. You know, even in just honoring the Sabbath, there's power in that. Because there's blessing when we follow the ways of God. It's empowering to us. It makes wise the simple. It will make wise the simple. And so we see, you know, this warning in the Proverbs of those who are simple, those who are open, that God wants to lead them in the way of wisdom. And then back in Proverbs 1, it was the thought of the foolish. Now, the foolish are, there's, I think, an obvious difference with that. You know, the simple, there was kind of like a slow turning, just because they were open to other things. But with the foolish, it's like they're set in their own ways. They are against God and His ways. And in this instance, it says they are seeking their own prosperity. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. And the prosperity, actually in the Hebrew, gives the thought of self-sufficiency. They are sufficient in their own strength, in their own ability, in their own resources, and they don't need God. You know, they have everything that they need. And we know from Revelation, right, there are some churches there, they thought they had everything they need and they were all good. But God said, well, you're actually poor and you're naked and you're blind. Right? Go purchase those things from me that you need. And so those who are self-sufficient, right, they have everything they need in themselves, God says, they're fools. And so that's the warning. You know, that's why we want to be so reliant upon the Lord. Yes. That in our lives, you know, we are reliant upon God in every area. And we're not falling back, right, on our own strength or our own ability. Right. But we're reliant upon the Lord. That will keep us from the consequences of what's described in these warnings. And so this first verse, in verse 32, that's the warning. But in verse 33, this is the antidote. Right? This is the way that if we follow God, this is what we can enter into. And verse 33 says, "But whoever listens to me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil." You know, the simple and the fool, they dwell in danger, in peril. And so the thing that can be deceiving about them, you know, especially the simple, you don't see it. Right? They keep making decisions. They keep opening themselves to things, and you look at their lives and say, "Lord, I know your word says this, but they're doing that, but I don't see any change. But you know, it's the Lord says that the wide way leads to destruction. It's not destruction as soon as you set foot into the wide path, but it leads that way. You know, and so that's why we want to walk in the fear of the Lord, to stay in the straight and narrow pathway, because it leads to God's glory, to the promises being fulfilled in our lives. And so we see the warning of verse 32, right? That the simple and the fool, they don't know it, but they are in peril because they're on that pathway. But those who listen to the voice of the Lord shall dwell in safety. And so the key with this, and in these two verses, the key is listening to the voice of wisdom. Because wisdom is speaking to us. In fact, we don't need to go and search far and wide to find the voice of wisdom. Now, there's an aspect where in the scriptures we search, we dig, we're looking for those nuggets and those gems. But when we're talking about the voice of wisdom, God helping us to make right decisions, that's not hidden. Because wisdom is crying out. In fact, let's look at what it says earlier in Proverbs 1 in verse 21. Because it describes wisdom, it's personifying wisdom as a person, as female, and she's standing on a street corner crying out. That's not hidden, is it? She's crying out. And let's read that in verse 21. It says, she cries in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she utters her words, saying, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. You know, wisdom is crying out for anyone who will hear and respond. You know, those who will, it says, turn at her correction. You know, the Spirit of God, the result is the Spirit of God will be poured out upon them. He'll make known the words and give understanding for the ways of God. And so wisdom is crying out, follow me, you know, allow me to guide you in making decisions in life. And so wisdom is, as the Bible says, the principal thing. And to, just to give that understanding, that definition of wisdom, you could say a biblical definition, or the definition of wisdom from heaven's perspective, would be a divine ability to make right choices. Right? And that's what wisdom, when it comes down to, God wants to give us the ability to make right decisions in life. And when we do that, we can live life skillfully. And when I say skillfully, we can avoid the traps of the enemy. We can avoid the wrong pathway that the enemy wants us to go down. We can heed the warnings of life and walk in safety and in protection. And so that is why wisdom is so important, especially in the last days. I think the farther into it we get, the more wisdom we need to make right decisions. And God, you know, is crying out from the street corners, oh, receive my wisdom, and I'll show you how to make right decisions. Because it's our choices in life that determine whether we are in safety or danger. Because wisdom will warn us when trouble is coming so that we can avoid it. And I want to look at this phrase here. It says, quiet from the fear of evil. Quiet from the fear of evil. Now, there are a lot of messages in our country, both from the secular and the religious, that are filled with doom and gloom. Well, there's reasons for that, though. I mean, all you have to do is turn on the TV and you can see the reasons, right? I mean, our country is not in a good place. Right? Our country has made decisions, and this is not recently, this is over the past 30 or 40 years that our country has made decisions. They've turned from God. They've removed God from every place that they possibly could, you know, in any sector of life. And they're trying to do more. You know, they're trying to change the laws and the times, as we read about in the last days. And, you know, we see that evil is arising. And we see that evil is coming even in the next few days. We're at a crossroads in our country for what's going to happen. But that's not what God is saying here. He's not saying that evil will not come. In fact, it's the other way around. Evil is there, but he's telling his people, we don't need to fear the evil. We don't need to fear. We can be in quiet from fear of evil. You know, there are a lot of people that are afraid of what's going to happen. I mean, they are full of fear. It's amazing. You know, I don't think it's ever been, you know, there's a movement in our country called preparing, or the nickname is preppers, right? They've even made a TV show of it, of people who have packed their bags and they've hidden guns and they've hidden stash, you know, they've had safe houses and stuff, because when things happen, they want to be ready and they want to have their guns and they want to have their protection and their castles and their stronghold, and they have TV shows showing how they've done that. But you know, the whole motive with that is fear. They're afraid of what's going to happen. And to be honest, rightly so, because they see it and they're like, what do we do? Well, if they don't have the Lord, then they're on their own. And that's a scary proposition, isn't it? Oh, if we didn't have the Lord, it would be a time of fear and a time of dread. But God is saying, because we're his children, we're his servants, we can rest in quiet. We don't have to fear evil. You know, and this word for quiet, it actually means to rest securely, to be undisturbed. To be undisturbed. That's a very precious thing, because sometimes when we see what's happening, our spirits are disturbed, aren't they? we're going through as a nation some disturbing things. But God says our perspective, if it's resting in him, if we're listening to the voice of wisdom, if we're just following his counsel, then our spirits will not be disturbed because of fear of evil. Because we have the voice of wisdom. When wisdom is our guide, we can rest in this way. Now, there's a lot that can be said about wisdom, but I just want to mention two things. You know, I mean, we could do a whole series on wisdom, but there, you know, I was just kind of meditating on it and asking the Lord, Lord, what is it that with wisdom that you want us to understand and that you want to quicken to us? And there was just two things about wisdom that I wanted to mention. One is hearing. Hearing. You see, we cannot receive wisdom unless we can hear the voice of wisdom and respond to wisdom. And so that's the first thing. And the second thing is yielding to wisdom. You see, wisdom is not, as we mentioned, wisdom is not hidden. It's not some secret voice that you have to know the secret password and, you know, to find out and to come in to hear wisdom. She's crying out on the street corners. And so you wonder, if she's crying out on the street corners, why do not more people walk in wisdom? Well, it's because, you know, even in the church, we can hear the voice of wisdom, but it's another thing to yield to wisdom. And that's really where it's at. We hear the voice of wisdom, but then we must yield to that voice. And so I just wanted to mention these two things. And the first thing is hearing. You know, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? I had this and I didn't write the reference down, so we can look it up later if you want. But someone said, well, what's the greatest commandment? And he responded, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. And you love God and you love your neighbor. But he said, I thought it was interesting when this first response was, hear, O Israel. You see, that's the greatest commandment. You could say, we can't love God and we can't love our neighbors unless we first hear. You know, you could say that's the great desire of our Heavenly Father, is that we learn to hear. Mark 12:29. Thank you. You know, you think about parents. You know, now Sarah and I don't have children, but we can observe that, you know, when children are raising up, you know, when they're infants, they don't have a clue what you're saying. It's just kind of babble. I think they understand more than we realize, but isn't it great joy to the parents when the children start to hear and understand what they're saying, and that there can be interaction and they can hear you? and respond and, well, learn to obey, right? But there's that joy for the parents when they learn to hear and respond. And how much more for our Heavenly Father when we learn to hear and obey and respond to the voice of the Lord. You know, God wants us to learn to hear Him. In fact, King David talked about the joy of this experience, of learning this. And in Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8, Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8 says, "Sacrifice and offering you don't desire. My ear have you opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. I delight to do your will." You know, he was rejoicing in the discovery of something. He discovered what heaven was really looking for, what the Father was really looking for, because his ear had been opened. And he realized, you know, the law of the sacrifices, that was really a picture of something else. That wasn't what God was really looking for. He was looking for someone who would delight to do his will. You know, his ear was opened up. And David, when he used that word, that Hebrew word, it actually means to be dug out, to be bored out. You know, like the big, you know, we watched a documentary about how they're expanding the underground in London. And so they have these two big boring machines digging under London, you know, under the river and so forth. It was really interesting. But, you know, they were opening up what had been closed before. And that's really it's being described here is our ear. When we're born, it is closed to the things of God. And God has to open it up. He wants to dig out our ear. And sometimes, well, I should say, you know, we are involved in that process, because sometimes we can't hear because there's interference. We can't hear what's being said because there's other noise filling our lives, things that distract us from the Lord. And, you know, the enemy is very happy when there's noise distracting us from the voice of God. When we learn to quiet ourselves, that's when he gets nervous. When we learn to hear the voice of the Lord, because we'll hear what he's saying and, you know, he's going to get defeated. And so, you know, we need to cry out to the Lord with David, "Lord, open my ear, dig it out that I can hear your voice." There's another verse in Isaiah. It talks about how Jesus had an ear to hear him. I love this verse in Isaiah 50 and verse 4. Isaiah 50 and verse 4 says, "He wakens morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as the learned." And here was Jesus. You know, you can look at the thought that every morning he came to his Father and said, "Father, would you speak to me today? I want to hear your voice." And the Father awakened him to know what would happen each day and what to prepare for each day. Maybe the Pharisees would accuse him of something and he would need wisdom to respond to them. Or one morning the Lord said, "Go to Samaria and you're going to meet a woman." And the Lord prepared him to know who to talk to, who would be the key in the situation. But it was morning by morning his ear was awakened. It's not like it was all deposited, you know, at birth, and he knew everything and he had everything he needed. You know, Jesus, even Jesus, it was morning by morning he went to his Father and he received everything he needed. And that's the pattern for our lives. You know, we're not going to get what we need unless morning by morning, or, you know, whenever the time is that we set aside for the Lord, that we meet with him and he awakens our ear. To hear is the learned. To hear is the learned. And that actually, learned, it means someone who has received instruction. It doesn't mean someone who has a PhD. It means someone who has been instructed in the ways of God. And we want to be the learned. And that only happens as we hear him, as we respond to him. And you can actually understand my next point in the next verse in Isaiah 50. Because, you know, we can hear him, but we must yield to him. And in Isaiah 50 and verse 5, it says, "The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." And you might ask, well, why don't more people hear the voice of the Lord? Because, you know, she's crying out in the street corners. But the answer is there's something we are born with in our spirits that when we hear the voice of the Lord, there's rebellion there, isn't it? That was the seed that was planted in our hearts, you know, through Adam and Eve. And there's that rebellion. And of course, Jesus, he conquered that. I was not rebellious. I did not turn backwards. He conquered that. And so we realize that when the Lord speaks, there has to be a yielding. And we have to have that readiness, that willingness to respond to what the Lord says. And of course, sometimes that's very challenging. That's where the rubber meets the road in Christianity, isn't it? And so one of our prayers has to be what Jesus prayed to his Father at the time when he was, you could say it was the time when he was struggling the most in any of his walk. It was when he was in the garden and he was struggling to receive that cup. And that kind of represents times that we go through when he's speaking and it's a struggle. But he prayed, Father, not my will, but your will be done. You know, if we will make that our prayer and the cry of our heart, I think the Lord sees, he understands the struggle in us, and he can intervene and give us strength to overcome. And so we want to practice that. We want to make that our prayer. Of course, he might speak some things to us that we need to give up, that we need to yield to him. But what we receive from yielding to him is so much greater than anything we have to give up. But it's so important that we do, that we practice this morning by morning, and we develop an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Now, there was a story I always remember with regarding this thought of hearing and learning to hear his voice. And it was a story about Catherine Coleman. And she was used by the Lord greatly in healing, and thousands came to her service, and the presence of God was there to heal. One Christmas, someone gave her a present. And it was, she opened the present, and she was really kind of surprised and confused because it was a surgical instrument someone had given her. And so she went to the person that gave her that instrument, and she said, why did you give this to me? And she said, the Lord spoke to me. Because this person was an eye surgeon. And she said, the Lord spoke to me to give you one of my instruments that I use in surgery. And what the Lord spoke to her was, God can use you in such a precise and delicate way, just as I use this instrument to make delicate incisions into someone's eye to bring healing. That's how God can use you. And that really struck me. Lord, I want you to be able to speak to me that you can use me to do delicate things in the lives of people. Now, the Lord can use me to be a hammer to someone. That's not too hard, right? You just have to speak the Lord of the Word with authority and wham! But it's another thing for God to use us to bring healing and to do delicate surgery in people's hearts. That takes an ear to hear what God is saying day by day. And that's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to teach us to hear his voice. And as we yield to him, I'm sure there were some situations in Catherine Coleman's life where, Lord, you really want me to say that to someone? Or, you know, you really want me to do this today? But she was so in tune to the Holy Spirit. And I remember Pastor Bailey used to share, you know, she'd get up there and share for a little bit. But as soon as she felt the Spirit of God, everything changed, and she was so in tune to the Spirit, and she knew exactly what the Lord was there to heal that night, whether it was a tumor or, you know, something in the body. And, you know, you can read her books and see all of the different variety of people who were healed, who had such maladies, they were healed. But it was because God spoke specifically to her. The Lord's here to hear you tonight, heal you tonight. You know, he could use her in that way. You know, God wants us to hear him in these days. Those who have not learned the voice of wisdom are going to experience great difficulty. You know, the simple and the foolish, we know their end, and it's not good. But if we can learn to hear the voice of wisdom, to respond and to yield to his leading, we'll be kept, we'll be preserved. We won't have to fear. You know, there's going to be great calamities and things we see that can cause our hearts to tremble unless we're hearing the voice of the Lord. But we don't have to fear those things. We don't have to fear them. We can trust in the Lord because we're walking in wisdom. We're responding to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we can be an instrument that's used in His hands. But it comes through wisdom and through walking in His way. And Father, we just thank You, Lord, for Your grace and Your mercy, O God. Lord, for Your great wisdom that you desire to give to us, that You're crying out. It's the cry of Your heart that we would hear Your voice and respond to You and to yield to You. Oh God, that we desire to do that today. Oh God, would You even meet with us, Lord? Would You give us that heart to respond to the voice of wisdom? Lord, even, Lord, open our ear, Lord, if there's, Lord, blockages, oh God. Lord, we just cry out to You. Open our ears to hear You. Lord, that we would respond to You. Lord, into Your voice speaking to us. And Lord, that You would help us to yield. Oh God, we just recognize that there's areas in our hearts where we have to yield to You as You come day by day. Sometimes You deal with us, and sometimes You want to work in our hearts. Oh God, give us grace to just yield to the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of wisdom, oh God. Lord, cause us to be those who would walk in wisdom. Lord, to be walking in, Lord, the shadow of the Almighty, in Your protection. Oh, we long for that peace. We long for that rest. Even when evil is around us, we can rest in You. Oh, because You are good, Lord, and Your mercy endures forever. And we just thank You, O God. Oh, meet with each one today, we ask. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.